How many are thankful for your Savior tonight? Amen. Amen. If it wasn't for our Savior, we wouldn't be here tonight. Right. Wow. And I tell people the second most important decision I ever made was marrying my wife. Susan, if you'll stand for just a moment. Thank you so much, babe. We're getting ready to celebrate our 44th wedding anniversary. And I'm very grateful for her, but the most important decision I ever made was accepting my Savior. And I'm certainly honored to be here at Worth Baptist Church. I hope you realize how blessed you are to be in this place. If you are a visitor, for the side since several visitors here tonight, please come back and hear Brother Gillette next week. He's one of the great pulpiteers of this day and time. He's got a wonderful spirit, and he's got a great pastor's heart. And we use him at our church. I've recommended my brother's church. And thank you for sharing him with the country, because he's a blessing to a lot of people. And I hope you will appreciate him. The Bible says the bishop is worthy of double honor. He's worthy, and he is a great man who is significantly younger than me, but I respect him highly, and I think that you are very blessed to have him here. I'm going to preach tonight on the subject of how to help your family and your church go on to greater victories. If you're like me, hopefully you like to win. I never like to lose. Now, you probably can't tell from where you're sitting, but I'm a little bit bigger than most people. When I was born, I weighed 11 pounds and 6 ounces. I was 6'5" by ninth grade. I played football in the fall, basketball in the winter, baseball in the spring. I raced motorcycles. I loved water skiing, played racquetball. If there was a ball involved, I loved it, but I didn't like to lose. But a lot of people in their Christian life were okay with just good enough. The Bible talks about that as being lukewarm, when God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 16, verse 3, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. I'd like to take you to a passage in the Old Testament that shows us how we can help our family and our church go out to greater victory. Turn with me, if you will, please, the book of Exodus, chapter 17. The book of Exodus, chapter number 17. We'll begin reading in verse 9. We'll read down through verse number 15. How to help your family and your church to go on to greater victories. Exodus 17, verse 9. Please follow along as I read. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisi. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, I ask for your help. I know that every good and perfect gift comes from above. I know the arm of flesh will fail us, but your arm fails not. And Lord, we ask that you'll work. We know you're here tonight because your word says where two or three are gathered together, you're there in the midst. And Lord, I pray that you'll be pleased and honored with what is said and done here this evening. And Lord, I pray that you'll put in our hearts, your Holy Spirit will stir us to have a desire to have greater victories in 2025. Not to be content with the same old, but try to accomplish things for the cause of Christ. I pray, Lord, you'll help me to say that which I ought and to avoid anything I should not say. We promise to give you the praise and honor for what happens here tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's four simple steps that we find here in this passage. We're going to take it right through the passage here. We're going to see some things that these men did that we ought to do. The word I use for this is emulatable. It's something that we can copy. And the first thing we see here in this passage that once this was started, we see in verse number 10, it says, Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Can I tell you, friends, it's a little harder going uphill than it is going down. It's easier to go down. The hotel we're in tonight, they told us the elevator was broken. Praise the Lord. And they said, well, we can help you get up. So the lady went in. She took all of us up with all of her luggage up, and it worked out great. Now, I had no problem walking down the stairs, but I was glad I was not carrying suitcases up the stairs. It takes effort to go up. But can I tell you this, friends? The view from the top is a lot better than the view from the valley. It's worth the price. It's interesting that I read quite a bit about Mount Everest, and climbing Mount Everest. In fact, there was a great tragedy there in May of 1996. I read four different books about that one tragedy, the best of which was called Into Thin Air by John Krakauer. And I learned some things. I did not know when you climb Mount Everest, I thought, well, you would leave early in the morning, but you don't. They usually have a base camp, then camp one, camp two, camp three, camp four. And camp four, once they get acclimated, is where they set off for the summit. They don't leave early in the morning. They leave at 10 p.m. the night before. But to go from camp four to the summit takes about 14 hours. They have oxygen. They have their headlamps. And why they have to get there at noon is because in the afternoon, jet streams come up on Mount Everest. 70, 80, 90 mile per hour winds. They can literally blow people right off the mountain. In fact, recently, a guy who was connected with Red Bull got to the top of Mount Everest, decided to snowboard down. He was never seen again. And the winds are incredible. So they have to get up there, and they have to start coming down so they get caught up there with no cover. It's difficult. By the way, it takes 14 hours to go from Camp 4 up to the summit. But to go from the summit back to Camp 4 is 4 hours. It's much easier going down than it is to go up. I wonder, are you willing to set out for the top? Bunyan, the great classic Pilgrim's Progress, talked about Christian, or Pilgrim as we call him, who was on an uphill journey towards that celestial city whose ruler and builder was God. By the way, when he was doing the right thing, he was going uphill. There were times he was distracted. This looks like an easier way. I can go down here. That was always a problem. So if we're going to go on to victory for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to, first of all, we have to set out for the top. Remember, the view for the top is a lot better. Are you willing to keep climbing? How many in here are retired? You've retired from your occupation. So retired, congratulations to you. By the way, it's a wonderful thing if you could retire with a good name for your occupation. But nowhere in Scripture do I see that we retire from our avocation, which is to serve God. Keep on serving. I teach the auditorium Sunday school class in Lancaster, and I've got 26 widows on my class roll. You have to be 60 to get into my class. 7 years ago, I got old enough to join the class I've been teaching for 28 years. I'm there now. But I tell them there's something you can do. Everybody can do something. We don't pay students to serve the hot lunches in the dining hall. They're all done by volunteers for the church. You say, well, what if you can't stand? Everybody can do something. How about email a missionary and tell them you prayed for them that day? Everybody can do something. God wants us to serve. Paul said, I've finished my course. I've run my race. He kept going to the very end when he could do no more. What a great thing. No wonder Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But number one, we have to set out for the top. And secondly, we see here, I want you to think about this with your family, with your church. It says this, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur were up the top of the hill. And it came to pass that Moses had held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. He was getting tired. And they took a stone and put it under him. This is very interesting. They took the stone and put it under him. Now, some of you have never experienced this, but I've sat on a few things that were not strong enough for me to sit on. If somebody kicks over a cardboard box for me, I'm not going to sit on that. And how about those cheap white chairs you can buy at Walmart for $5? How many know what I'm talking about? The pastor said, you know, we're staying away from those things. I was preaching in New York, Hudson Bay Baptist Church. I'll never forget it. My wife was with me. It was a Filipino church, and it was great service, a long service, but a hot service. There was no air conditioning there. It was in the heart of the summer. And I remember it was hard to get my tie in loosened because the sweat had gotten on it. And it was tough. But they said, but good news, we have a fellowship. The Filipinos have got a lot of food. It's down in the basement. I said, glory to God. Lumpia, pancit, chicken adobo. Here we go. And I went down there. It was cool. And man, I loaded up a plate. I got myself some iced tea. And I saw a white chair. It was clean. It looked nice. Went over and sat in that chair. Got my food out. It was good for just a moment. I did not know that chair, the man said, was 10 years old. That was sitting out in the sun for years, and the plastic had degraded. And all of a sudden, one of those legs exploded. And I went tumbling backwards, food everywhere. My wife came running over to me and said, "Are you okay?" I said, "I'm okay." Then she started laughing. All right. What an encouragement. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm careful about sitting in those chairs. Right? Can I ask you this? For your spouse, you kick over a cardboard box or do you set out a stone? It's harder to move a stone. Brother Corey, where are you at? I'm going to have you up here for a little while, wherever you're at. Here he is. Why don't you bring that chair up here? This is a good, solid chair. Stay on the platform, Brother Corey, because we're going to use you quite a bit. I was looking for someone strong to use. I was going to use Brother Tony, and Corey said, "I'm stronger. I can do it." So he didn't really say that. So where's his wife? Is your wife here tonight? Right over here. I'm going to give him a chance to earn something, do something special for you. So be rooting for your husband, okay? Now, when I look at this chair, this is a solid chair. This is a good chair. What do you think this weighs? About 20 pounds? 22, 23 maybe? Something like that? Maybe a little less? Okay. But it's solid. Now, can I say this? To get a stone out of a mountain would have taken a lot of work. They're probably up there with their staves, a walking stick, if you will. Could you see them digging around that stone? Try to rock it a little bit so they could roll it over to the edge so Moses could sit on it. That would give him support. Can I challenge you tonight, my friend? Support people who are in the church. Support the music director. Support the youth director. Support the pastor. By the way, ladies, support the nursery director. How many are thanking God the babies aren't in here right now? And all God's people said, that's exactly right. Thank them for it. Support them. Maybe do some nice things for them. Right? That's a good thing to do. But they set out a stone. Now, it wasn't easy to set out a stone. It wasn't natural to set out a stone. But they said, hey, our leader needs support. And we want our country to go on to victory. And they knew when his arms went down that the enemy would begin to prevail. When his arms were held up, they'd go forward. So that was the situation there. So I hope you understand you have to set out for the top, but you have to set out some stones. Can I ask you tonight, who'd you set out a stone for last week? I've been writing the students at West Coast Baptist College. I've already written my whole Sunday school class, and now I'm writing through the student body. I've written about 450. I've got about 50 cards left to go. And I've been saying pretty much the same thing. Greetings from Texas. I said, my wife and I are traveling with a tour group. Hope your break is off to an enjoyable and productive start. Then I would say this. Let me encourage you to redeem your time. So try to do some reading. We'll talk about that a little later on. Readers are leaders. You'll be the same person 5 years from now as you are today, except for the books you read, the people you're around, and the things you watch and listen to. So do some reading. I said, get some extra rest. And I put a happy face. And then I said, and seek to try to encourage and be a blessing to other people. Look for people you can be a blessing to. Can I ask you, who were you a blessing to last week? I got a text sitting in this auditorium tonight from a man named Gerald Wells, 83 years of age. He said, how are things going? I'm praying for you. I went by his house on Thursday, put some brownies. I went to see him. He wasn't home. Put some brownies there. They were wrapped in plastic and called, left a message. What would be an encouragement to him? When was the last time you emailed one of your missionaries that you support through faith projects and said, I'm praying for you? That's setting out a stone. And by the way, it's a little more real to me than it is to some people. And Brother Patterson, you need to understand this. I have a daughter and son-in-law and 4 grandchildren that live 8,500 miles away in Thailand. And my daughter, who's in Thailand, I have 3 children, she contacts me more than the other 2 combined. She'll usually ask me, Dad, where are you preaching this week? I'm usually in about 100 churches a year, and I'll tell her, one day I said, well, sis, I said, I'm going to be in San Jose, California, at the Liberty Baptist Church, Pastor Stan Smith. And she said, tell this lady I said hi. I said, how'd you know her? She said, I don't know her. I said, why by telling you said hi? She said, every prayer letter she emails and said, I prayed for this prayer request. Then I asked this question, friends. I said, well, how many people do that? She said, two. In 70 supporting churches. By the way, that pricked my heart. And I changed some things in my life. We have hundreds of missionaries in our church. I email every one of them every year now. I pick about 7 or 8 a week and just keep rolling through the list. And I'll mention their country, their name. I want to set out a stone for them. It's amazing the letters get back. Thank you for remembering us. By the way, folks, if you have a smartphone, it's free. It's free. It takes about 2 minutes. Maybe mention their kids' names. Yeah, I prayed for them by name. That'd be a blessing to them. That would be setting out a stone for someone. That'd make a difference in someone's life. And God wants us to be difference makers. If you're going to go on to victory in your church, you want to set out for the top. You want to set out some stones. If you want to go on to victory in your family, you want to set out for the top. You want to set out some stones. But thirdly, let's look down a little bit further and see what else happened here. We see that not only did they set out a stone, but this is very interesting. They stayed up his hands, verse 12, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. They held his hands up. Brother Corey, I want you to stand up here if you would. I want you to lift this chair up in front of you and run your hands through the back and grab the front legs. This is where your husband's going to earn something for you, okay? Yeah, put your under there, grab the front leg. If there you go, grab the front. Hold the straight out, elbow straight, just like that. Now, what we're going to do, do you guys like to go to Babe's Eat? Yeah? Okay, Stonefire Grill, something like that, someplace to get barbecue. Okay, now, what I'm going to do here, Corey will hold this up for just 20 minutes. Just 20 minutes. I'm going to give you $20 for him to take you out for lunch. So keep it up straight there. Help me now. Very good. Very good. Just like that. It's only 23 pounds. Ma'am, you're enjoying this a little too much down here, okay? You're the kind who likes to see pain happen to people, okay? And Brother Corey's doing pretty well there, although his face is turning a little bit red, okay? So keep straight up for me. There we go. Just like that. Your wife wants to go out for lunch, and she's depending on you. And good news, you already have 30 seconds done. Just 19 and a half more minutes. What a blessing. It's coming. Can I tell you this? When you carry the load by yourself, it gets very tiring very quickly. Don't make Brother Corey carry the music load by himself, Brother Tony, the youth by himself, or your pastor carry the burdens of the church by himself. You say it's just not that much, but it's hard by yourself. He's making really amazing faces back here now. Okay, just two more minutes. Come on down. Now, but you know what we're going to do here? Michael, Jeremiah, coming up here for a second, if you will. All of a sudden, we're going to put one guy, grab two legs on that side, help hold it up, and Jeremiah come to this side, hold these legs up. You think you could do it now, Brother Corey?
Oh, praise the Lord. God's good.
He just said, praise the Lord, God is good. He hasn't been that excited since his last good meal, okay? So, can I just tell you this, friends? Many hands make the burden light. Aaron and Hur were there to help hold up his hands. Can I ask you tonight? Whose hands did you help hold up this week? So, I prayed for him. Did you let him know you prayed for him? We teach our students to say, is there anything I could do to help you? That sounds good, but once in a while I'll say, yes, there is. And they look at me like, are you serious? Well, you just ask me if there's anything I could do to help you. Well, you ask if you could help and mean it. And mean it. We live 84 miles from our airport, and We have a lot of retired folks who will go down and pick up preachers and bring them back. It could be a four-hour, five-hour round trip if you hit L.A. traffic. But it makes a difference. So set out for the top. Set out some stones. Stay up some hands. Now, you can put the chair down, but Brother Corey, I need you to stay here. We're not done with you yet. You guys can go sit down. Thank you. Now, let me just explain something to you. Brother Corey, come up here. You leave the chair there. So let's say this is Moses. You have to really stretch your imagination here, okay? So this is Moses, and so I'm Aaron or Hur, and I'm going to hold up his hands. Israel is a very hot desert climate. Can I say this? If you're going to hold up somebody's hands, if you're going to hold up your spouse's hands, you've got to get close to them. You hold up your pastor's hands, you're going to get close to them. If I get to hold up his hands for, let's say, 5 hours, I can't do it like this because my arm's going to get tired. I'm going to have to get here. Maybe I'll be holding it like this for a while. As long as his hands are up, we're going forward. Maybe I better do it like this for a while. Now, the thing is, when I'm this close, I notice that little hair growing out of his ear. Just kidding. By the way, in the desert, they didn't have antiperspirant. I bet his skin was getting slick. Try to hold it up. It's not always easy, but it's always right. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Keep on keeping on. A great old preacher said years ago, don't quit, but hold up the hands. Thank you for the core. You're done. You're great. Now, can I just tell you this, friends? Satan doesn't want us to have victories. Satan loves for God's people to be defeated. So he loves it if we won't set out for the top, if we won't set out stones, if we won't stay up hands. But then here is probably the most critical thing of all. Look down a little bit further, if you will. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. I've been a full-time Christian work for 46 years. I want to finish strong. I want to keep on keeping on. I don't know how long I'll be doing what I'm doing. My brother-in-law is with a tour group right now. Get this now. He's 78 years of age. Packing up every day, going on, driving down the road. We're going to be in Austin, Texas, coming up on a Friday night. We'll have to get up at 6 o'clock the next morning, drive 4 hours to a youth rally that day. It's from 11 to 3. Then we'll leave there, drive 4 hours to Houston where we're speaking the next morning. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. His hands were steady into the going down of the sun. Can I challenge you? Keep on keeping on. Can I challenge you not to say, well, I've done my part. It's somebody else's turn. Sometimes we say things that sound good that aren't right. Like, I don't get mad, I get even. That's not a Bible verse. Okay? No, God wants us to keep on going, to finish our race. We have started another new year. We have no idea how long we will have. Interesting days we live in. Very interesting to see what's happening in places like Syria and Damascus. I mean, I know what Isaiah and Ezekiel say, that Damascus is going to be absolutely obliterated. They're going to graze sheep on top of it. That's interesting. But whatever happens, God wants us to keep on keeping on. So people say, well, what is your goal for the new year? How about this for goal? That someday we might hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a great goal. Oh, there's things I want to accomplish. I've got writing projects and different things I'm doing. I want to be a blessing in the different places where I'm speaking. But you know what, folks? Our priority ought to be to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he is honored, he is happy, everything else will take care of itself. So the end result of this is that victory was won. We like victories. We like seeing good things happen. And they did. Because some people were willing to set out for the top. Some men were willing to set out a stone, to stay up some hands, and to stay there. Can you imagine how hot it was? Those who have been to Israel, can you imagine? There's no trees in those mountains. In that blazing hot desert sun. But they stayed. Can I challenge you to stay by the stuff? Just do what God wants you to do. And if you'll do that, I believe with all my heart that someday you'll say, I'm glad I did. You see, friends, we're all going to say one of two things when it's said and done. We'll say either, I'm glad I did, or we're going to say, I wish I had. You all know what I'm talking about, especially you adults here. Let's make the choices so we can say, I'm glad I did. We reach in our pocket and take out a gospel tract, we usually say, hey, I'm glad I did. It was just last week, I was in the lobby, and an usher who's in my class came and said, hey, these people would have joined the church. I'd never seen it before and found it was their first time there. And I was busy. I had a family that had just arrived the night before, a husband, a wife, four kids, and she was pregnant. I was supposed to take care of them for lunch. They're coming to attend the college. So that was on my mind. And I thought, well, let me ask you, sir, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? He said, I don't know that. And I literally took a track out like that. I gave him one so he could follow along with me. And standing there in the lobby, we went through the plan of salvation. And after about 10 minutes, David bowed his head and prayed, asked Jesus Christ to come in his heart. Can I just tell you this? I'm glad I did. He was supposed to get baptized today. I haven't found out if that happened yet. What if I'd missed that opportunity? What if I said, I'm busy right now, and we're all busy. Let's ask God to help us to go on to victory. Let me close with a brief illustration. If you're going to do this, you're going to have to give some things up. There was a young boy. His name was Tony. And Tony was a prodigious checkers player. I mean, really, really good. But he was the first and second grade. He was beating all the elementary school kids. By third and fourth grade, he was beating the high schoolers. In sixth grade, he was beating adults 97 times out of 100. Well, as you might imagine, people stopped wanting to play checkers with Tony. It's okay. I mean, he'd beat people like they were a redheaded stepchild. But one day, word came from another town that there was an old man, we'll call him Mr. Smith, just over the border of Tennessee and Kentucky, that wanted to come down and play Tony in checkers. Tony literally lived in a town called Stinking Creek, Tennessee. Well, they set up an appointment. It was several weeks in advance on a Saturday, and a caravan wended its way down from the hills of Kentucky into that little town. And they would usually play inside the old country store, but there were so many people to see it, kind of like a Cracker Barrel. They moved the barrel out of the porch where everybody could watch the game. They put a rocker on each side. They chalked the rocker so they would move. And Tony got up in his rocker, and old Mr. Smith, you could tell he wasn't really used to combing his hair a lot. He'd kind of slicked it down, but it had shocks of white sticking up like errant shocks of wheat. And he's wearing the most faded old blue coveralls and a flannel shirt that was so thin you could almost see through it. It was rolled up to about his elbows, and his skin was, as is wont with people who are extremely elderly, was almost translucent with age. But his eyes were still sharp, and he slowly leveraged himself down in the chair, and he looked at Tony and said, go ahead, sonny. Tony didn't like that. As the youth would say that, he felt he'd been disrespected. He kind of went, huh. He took the first move, then another move, and the game commenced, and soon Tony had taken a piece, then another piece, a third piece, and he looked up at his sister, who was quite the checkers player herself, like, you could beat this guy. And old Mr. Smith got one piece, and Tony took a fourth piece, and he was just feeling quite full of himself. And then he reached and took another piece forward. Mr. Smith said, you shouldn't have done that, sonny. He reached out his hand and went boom, 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 and said, king me. In checkers, that's called a Jacob's ladder. And now with the king on the back part of the board, which could go any direction, he mowed through the board. In a few more minutes, the game was over. Tony was stunned. He couldn't believe it.
Wow.
How'd this old guy beat me like that? And old Mr. Smith looked at him with a wry grin and said, keep practicing, Sonny. And you know Tony like that. He leveraged himself up from the chair and went over the stairs and very slowly began to go down one step at a time, just slowly, one step, and then another step. He was about halfway down, and he stumbled. People gasped. Then all of a sudden, Tony said, sir, can I ask you a question? Mr. Smith turned and said, what is it, son? Tony said, how did you do that? And here's what Mr. Smith said. He said, son, sometimes you have to give up a few pieces to get the crown. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ will ask us, are you willing to give up a few pieces of what this world has to offer so that someday he can give us a crown and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's worth it to try to go on for greater victories. Let's pray tonight. Lord, I thank you for Worth Baptist Church. I thank you for Pastor Gillett, for his faithfulness, for how you blessed this church over the decades. But Lord, I do pray that the greatest years will be ahead of it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder how many here tonight would say, Dr. Rasmussen, I do know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I know that for sure. If you could say that tonight, would you raise your hand? A great sea of hands. That's as I expected. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I can't look at every single person here, but I wonder, is there someone here tonight who would say, you know, I'm not absolutely positive that I'm saved. By the way, this is the most important decision you can make. Don't leave that as an unknown. You say, would you please pray for me? I'm not sure. If so, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? I won't embarrass you. I won't come to you, but I will pray for you. That's really as I expected here at Worth Baptist on a Sunday night. But let me ask you this. How many here tonight would say, Dr. Rasmussen, with God's help, I'm going to do my best to help my family and my church to go on to greater victories. I'm going to work at that this year. Setting out for the top and setting out stones and staying out hands and staying, just sticking with it till either the trumpet sounds or the Lord calls us home. See, with God's help, I'm going to work on those things. If you'd say that tonight, would you raise your hand? Many, many, many hands raised. You put your hands down. Just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And if God spoke to your heart, I would encourage you to come speak to him about whatever he talked to you about. You could do it there in your pew, but I'd encourage you to use the altar if you're able. But you do what God wants you to do. Lord, I pray you'll bless during this invitation time. I pray you'll speak to hearts. I pray you'll work in people's lives. Lord, we love you, and I pray you'll help us to live so other people can see that we love you. I think of those in Antioch who were first called Christians. They acted like little Jesuses. People could see Jesus in their life. I pray that we could be that way in our towns. With their head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand your feet, please? And as the pianist begins to play, the altar's open. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you speak to him? Some have come already. You do what God wants you to do. God wants to work in us. God wants to work through us. Will you try to go on to victory this year? I read this morning, Matthew chapter 5, asked the question, what do ye more than others? What are we willing to do more than we did last year? The Bible says it's so much the more as we see the day approaching. That's something we should think about. God loves us. He gave himself for us. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our work. He is worthy. We're getting a message right now. He's worthy of our service. He's worthy of our sacrifice. Just one more stanza, we'll be done. Thank you so much for listening. Well, you may be seated for just a moment while I make just a few quick announcements. Obviously, I am here to recommend and to tell you about West Coast Baptist College. We're located in Lancaster, California. Let me just say this. People may say it's a long ways away. Never base the will of God on price or proximity. You do what God wants you to do. We do like to meet with the 9th through 12th graders over here in the far section. We've got a few giveaways, CDs, T-shirts, and some ear pods and different things. So if you're 9th through 12th grade, if you go over there, it'll be about a three-minute meeting over there right away. And then in the lobby, we have a book table. Can I just tell you, here at the start of the year, what a great time to decide to read some good books, right? And by the way, you say, how do you do that? That which gets scheduled gets done. You'll read your Bible through this year, schedule 20 minutes in the morning, you'll read it through in a year, right? Schedule it. Put it first. It'll be a help to you. Let me mention a few books. Probably the greatest message I've ever heard on overcoming temptation and overcoming sin is called Victory by Dr. Jim Shetler. I was speaking with him at a conference in Maryland over 30 years ago, and it was such an easy outline. I said, I'm going to preach that somewhere. And I said, have you preached that anywhere else? He said, yeah, about 300 churches. I've never preached it. But when he came to work for us about 10 years ago, I put it to print. It sells for $7. I sell for $5 because I want to get it in your hands. Every parent ought to teach these steps to your children. How to help overcome, resist temptation, overcome sin. If you have children in your home or if you're a teacher of any type, I wrote a book called 101 Tips for Teaching. Teaching is a transference of truth. I'm in my 46th year as a college teacher. I'll give you one of the tips. The goal, parents, is progress, not perfection. If you want your kids to be perfect, you will never be happy. You want to see them grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Brand new, see, I'm not a big reader. Start with this. This is a 50-day devotional just came out by a pastor called Courageous to inspire your faith and strengthen your resolve, get this, to make a difference for Christ. Will you be courageous in the new year? Then I'm going to mention two or three quickly devotionals. We have two beautiful ladies devotional by Mrs. Gloria Gibbs. Every page is different. They're absolutely beautiful. We have sold tens of thousands of these books. And they're made to sell for $20. Her son graduated from West Coast. We sell them for $15. And you will enjoy these immensely. $15 for one, $2 for $25 if you want to get those. Then we have about five big annual devotionals, 366 devotions each one. This one's called Boots on the Ground, written by a 20-year Air Force veteran who has his earned PhD with a 4.0 from Liberty University in history. He still works there for the military. And he spent 5 years writing this book. Every story in here deals with history of the military. You know someone who's interested in history of the military, it's a great one. There's another one there called A Word to the Wise. And that one there is all from Proverbs. Proverbs is God's wisdom book. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all that getting and understanding. I'd encourage you, maybe get a devotional for the morning, one for night, one page a day. It will strengthen you. It will help you as you go to the new year. And I challenge you to be a reader. We take check, cash, credit card, debit card, Apple Pay, but no small children. We just don't have room in the van, okay? I'll turn it over to you for the side. Thank you.
Make sure you take time to go by the table and look what they have and purchase some of those. Reading is very important. Leaders are readers and readers are leaders. And Dr. R., thank you so much for the message tonight. I have been challenged, haven't you? I'm going to do something different this week and going on through the year. And I pray that you'll make a decision tonight to do something different for the cause of Christ and for your family. Let's stand and be dismissed. I'm not going to take time to go over to the announcements. They're in the bulletin, but let me remind you that we will have service Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Make sure you're back for that. And then also, next Sunday begins our Sunday school relaunch. And if you have not, as of yet, picked up the handout that we have out on the tables where the new Sunday school classes are maybe for you to try out, then make sure you pick up one on your way out. Be looking through this through the week. And show up next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for our new Sunday school classes. And we're looking forward for the Lord to do some really great and wonderful things for us in 2025. Be praying for Pastor as he travels back tomorrow. And he is away. And I know he would appreciate your prayers for him as he travels back. And he'll be back in here Wednesday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and be dismissed. And you have a great rest of the week and stay warm, all right? Father, we love you so much. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts. Lord, not only tonight, but also this morning. Thank you for the message tonight, Dr. R, that's challenged us. And Lord, I pray that we take something home tonight and not just fold it away and not think about it for the rest of the week. But Lord, we would make a decision to do something for our family that we can see progression in our spiritual lives. And we'll give you honor, glory, and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.